Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, today is Veterans Day, and this broadcast is going to be very much concerned with Veterans Day, what it means, what are veterans. Are you a veteran? If you're not, can you become a veteran? No, really? You say you're too old to join the military forces? Well, I'm here to tell you that you're not. And we're going to be discussing that in depth tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as we pay tribute to the nation's veterans. The veterans from the past, the veterans of today, and the veterans of tomorrow. We believe, ladies and gentlemen, that not all the wars have been fought. And while we would sincerely wish and we constantly pray that there will be no more war and no more veterans, the history of world totalitarian socialism tells us that it's just not meant to be. Apropos, battle hymn of the Republic. Not the democracy, ladies and gentlemen, but the Republic, as we discussed the other night. it is absolutely imperative that you understand the difference. You see, our Constitution protects us. It limits the power of government, and it guarantees us a constitutional republican form of government, not a democracy. A democracy is mob rule, and this is what we're beginning to experience now. But that's not really the subject of this broadcast, except you can't really fight for your country if you don't know what your country is. And many of us may have been used in the past to fight battles which had really nothing to do with the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, but rather everything to do with the formation of a totalitarian socialist world government known as the United Nations. Now, I'm a veteran, ladies and gentlemen, and some of the things that I'm going to discuss tonight might tend to be a little disagreeable to some veterans, because nobody ever wants to believe or admit to themselves that they have been used, and that they consider themselves to be heroes, and that they have fought for this country. They certainly don't want to hear someone tell them that that may not be quite the way it was. In the context of what we've been learning over the last 10 years or so, and if we had heeded the warning of many who had gone before us, we would have learned it a lot sooner, I'm sad to say. In that context, ladies and gentlemen, we have discovered that most of what has happened since the beginning of the First World War has been propelling us into the dissolution of sovereignty of nations, the destruction of things like constitutions for the United States of America, bills of rights, the concept that men and women have rights that are endowed upon their birth by their creator, the concept that the ultimate achievement of all humankind is freedom, with responsibility for each individual. These things are quickly disappearing, and they're being replaced with buzzwords, terms like democracy, interdependence, regionalism. The good of the whole outweighs the good of the individual. They are telling us that something that man created, a philosophy, if you will, a system, becomes something that is more important than its own creator. Some of you may find that difficult to understand. Let me try and explain it. Under a socialist or communist system, well, let me back up and say under a democratic republic, is that correct? No, ladies and gentlemen, it is not. What I'm trying to do is get you to understand the proper terminology, and to get you to understand exactly what it means, because you won't understand anything else that I'm talking about during this broadcast unless you do. Under a constitutional republic, which is what our founding fathers established for themselves and for their posterity is us and our children and grandchildren forever. Their concept was this, that there is a creator for this universe. This creator endowed man with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable means cannot be leaned, as in L-I-E-N, as in I put a lien on your house. In other words, these rights are inviolable. They are unalienable, cannot be separated from the human that they are attached to when that human is born. That because of those unalienable rights, man is the supreme authority. And man comes together in groups to create governments for the benefit and mutual protection of those men. And that they bestow upon that government certain limited powers and restrict that government so that the government can never become despotic or become a tyrant. And the government is established to serve the people who created it, and in this instance, their posterity. That the chief purpose of that government is to provide for the common welfare and the defense, and to protect the creator-endowed rights of the individuals, the citizens, if you will. Now let's contrast that with a socialist or a communist system, which we know is what is trying to grasp the world, the pearl of great price, as they call it. In a socialist system, the government is created as more powerful and more important than any of the individuals that created it. The government exists in a socialist or communist system because the philosophy is that the people cannot be responsible and take care of themselves or do the right and proper things that are necessary for the well-being of the society. Therefore, the government is granted all power, not just a little power, but all power, the power of life and death. The power to tell you when you are born that you will go to school for your life and learn how to be a tractor driver, no matter what else you may have a talent for, and no matter what else you may wish to do or be. And those systems, ladies and gentlemen, it is forbidden for you to have original thought. It is forbidden for you to seize upon opportunities. In other words, your life is laid out for you. You are told even what to think, what you can read, and what you can write. And if you deviate from this path, if you fail to go to bed when you are supposed to go to bed, if you fail to do the work that you are supposed to do, this government can do with you what it wills. And if you study the history of socialism, you will see that it is a misery that it inflicts. Ultimately, it reaches the point where the people pretend to work and the government pretends to pay them. And everything pretty much goes to hell in a handbasket. Now, if you know the difference between these two systems, and if you really understand what I'm going to tell you next, and you must understand this also, that this concept of liberalism and conservatism is not only flawed, it is a fraud, a total and complete fraud. Anthony J. Hilder, who will make his debut on this network later tonight, puts it deliciously. It is the most descriptive phrase that I have ever heard coined by anyone in my life. Anthony has a talent for doing this. He calls it socialusion. And that's exactly what it is. It's a form of magic. Magic is the art of illusion And that is what socialists practice best. Magic. They want you to believe that there are two opposing forces, one on the right and one on the left. The one on the left called liberalism. The one on the right called conservatism. Those populating the left are called liberals, and on the right, conservatives. It is not true. It is a fraud, a scam. It is, in fact, social illusion. Today in America, there's not one dime's difference between the Democratic and Republican Party, between those who call themselves liberals and those who call themselves conservatives. In fact, it used to be in this country that the liberals tended to break away from bondage. Liberals were for freedom. Liberals, in fact, in the history of this country, liberals like Thomas Jefferson and many others, Benjamin Franklin was, of course, a liberal. These people were the protectors of the Constitution and the advocates of creator endowed rights of each individual. They believed in the concept that you must protect the individual for the good of the whole. In a socialist or communist system, they believe that the good of the whole overweighs any benefit or good for the individual. Somehow over the years, this concept has become skewed. Conservatism always wanted to hold on to tradition, to past values. Conservatism in the entire history of this country and of the world has tended to keep man in bondage. Now, I know many of you are going to find this hard to understand because you have been so brainwashed with the lie. I hope that I'm going to explain it so that it's very clear to you. Somehow, in the last 50 years, these two terms have been reversed. Now, liberalism wants to take away the creator-endowed rights of man and the protection of those rights, the Constitution, and put man back into bondage, or at least that's what they want us to believe. And conservatism is supposed to be that force which holds on to freedom, protects individual creator-endowed rights, and its protector, the Constitution. But if you take a look at what's happening and what the people on both sides in government are doing and have done, you will see that they are both lying to us, and the two have become one, neither one of which is what they used to be. They want you to believe by bandying these terms, liberalism and conservatism, are right and left, are far left and far right, that on the far left there is a controlling force, a bad force, called communism that is all-encompassing. They want you to believe at the same time, on the far right, there is another all-encompassing, all-controlling force called fascism. Well, if that's true, if both sides result in the total control of each individual and in the total usurpation of power by the state, then this is not a scale at all, but a deception. Listen very carefully, because I am about to tell you the truth. Throughout the history of the world, ladies and gentlemen, the far left has always been where total control exists. It is the arena of dictators. It is the arena of fascism. It is the arena of communism. Throughout the history of the world, all the way on the right end of the scale, which when viewed in its true perspective is a real scale, which measures the absence or presence of control over the individual. On the extreme right, ladies and gentlemen, is anarchy, which is the total absence of any control. It is where there are no laws, no rules, where the strongest survive and the weak are enslaved or perish. Anarchy is just as bad as total control on the left, which in its ultimate form is always communism. Now, communism as an ideal is not communism as it exists in reality. As an ideal, it cannot, will not, has never worked. As it exists in reality, when and where it exists, it takes the form of total ownership and control of all goods, services, capital, and human resources. All property, all business, all military, all distribution, all markets, everything. It is the ultimate form of control. It takes control of literature, of the arts, of medical science, of psychiatry. It restricts travel to only those who have permission to travel, and only to the places where they have permission to travel to. So this scale, when viewed in its proper form, measures the presence or absence of control in varying degrees. On the far right, the complete and total absence of any control whatsoever. If I want your home, I just kill you and take it. As you move away from the far right toward the left, you get in degrees of more and more control. A constitutional republic exists somewhere near the center, just to the right of center on this scale. And as you progress toward the left, you move into more and more loss of individual freedoms and more control by Big Brother, the state. These people who are taking control of the world do not want you to know the truth. They claim that those who fight for constitutional government, those who call themselves patriots, those who believe in freedom, are right-wing extremists, and they compare them to Hitler and Nazi Germany. And they do this to demonize these people so that you cannot pinpoint the real enemy, which is always, if you believe in freedom, on the left. Hitler, ladies and gentlemen, was on the left. He was not a right-wing anything. He was not even close to center. Hitler was a socialist, just exactly like the socialists who are taking control of the United States of America today. Hitler was a socialist. The party that he belonged to was called the German National Socialist Workers' Party. He was just a little above communism. And these two parties were fighting for control of Germany. National socialism against communism. The biggest enemy that Hitler had were the communists in Germany. Everyone else had been so thoroughly devastated by the Versailles Treaty in the post-World War I inflationary period that they viewed Hitler almost as a god. He restored the trains to running on time. He gave food to people who did not have it. He made sure that everyone had a job or a pension or some kind of a stipend. He created welfare. He gave the German people what they thought was self-respect. And to unify them against a common enemy, he created an enemy within and turned the efforts of the German people against anyone. Not just Jews, ladies and gentlemen. That's one of the biggest deceptions you've been hammered with also. But anyone who could not prove at least three generations of pure Aryan blood. That meant gypsies, that meant blacks, that meant Poles, that meant Jews. And if you think the New Age movement is new, you've got another thing coming, because the exact same New Age movement existed in the 30s during Hitler's rise to power. Then they called them mediums. Today they call them channelers. Now they call them New Age. Then they call them spiritualists and other terms. And even, ladies and gentlemen, used the term New Age. There was a new religion in Germany, as there is trying to be born a new religion in the United States of America. All German SS officers, after they had proven their pure Aryan bloodline, went through a period of training and were sent to a castle, an isolated castle in Germany, where they were indoctrinated into the new religion, and a secret mystery school. They underwent their first degrees of initiation there and then passed into the regular ranks of the German SS. The same thing is happening today, ladies and gentlemen. Recently, at a meeting of the survivors and families of the Oklahoma City Mura Federal Building bombing, FBI agents told the victims not to pray to God because there isn't any God. You see, the new religion is secular humanism. The state is God. Man is God. Is that what you would like to become a part of? Not me. I'll be right back after this brief pause. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We've got a lot more to talk about on this Veterans Day.
Oh, God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, through the ocean, white with foam, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets, real money, as defined in the Constitution for the United States of America and in the United States Code. You see, Real money is not what you think it is. It's not what you have in your wallet or in your purse or in your pocket. Did you know that a dollar is a unit of measurement? A dollar is not a thing. A dollar is not money. A dollar is the unit of measurement of real money. Real money, as defined by law, is a specific weight and purity and measurement of silver coin and or the equivalent value in gold coin. It's spelled out as clear as day. The Constitution gives Congress the power to coin. And not coining money. And you say, oh, well, I have a pocket full of coins. I have some pennies and dimes and nickels and quarters. Well, you don't really, ladies and gentlemen. What you have is what's called counterfeit or debased coinage, for they do not fit the definition of the law. And when you put out a Federal Reserve note, which, by the way, is not federal, and there is no reserve, and it's not a note, and it says $5, show me those $5 when the law says that $5 must be a specific weight and measurement and purity of silver coin or its equivalent value in gold coin. Not only that, but I dare you to tell me the difference between that $5 bill and a $100 bill. There is none. You see, they are both pieces of paper, the same exact size. The only difference is what is written upon them. Can you take them to the bank and exchange them for real dollars? No. Real dollars do not exist today. And it is the first real proof that I can show to anyone that the Constitution for the United States of America is not in effect. Although according to the law, it remains the supreme law of the land, it has been subverted. It has been subverted. The subversion has taken place, ladies and gentlemen. The insurrection has taken place. Our government is not attacking us. Our government is not bad. Our government is not wrong. But the positions in our government have been infiltrated by Marxists, socialists, and communists who are destroying this country from within exactly, ladies and gentlemen, as Khrushchev said would happen when he pounded his shoe on the table in the United Nations and said, we will not have to invade you. We will destroy you from within. You see, Joseph McCarthy was right. And the opening up of the archives in the Soviet Union have disclosed that not only was he right, but he knew the exact number of Soviet agents that had infiltrated this government at that time. When they destroyed Joseph McCarthy, they took total control. And no one had the guts to oppose them from that moment on. And they are in control now. One of the planks on the Communist Manifesto is to destroy the middle class. The only way to destroy the middle class in this country, ladies and gentlemen, is to strip them of their guns and collapse the economy. This will happen. Your only protection is never, never to surrender your arms under any circumstances, no matter what they say, no matter what they pass, no matter how they do it, and even if you have to die on your doorstep to protect your rights, you must be prepared and willing to do that. And the other way is to have real money, so that when everything comes tumbling down, you are not taken by surprise. So call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646 and get your hands on some real money. Ask them how you can do it. It's easier than you think. And if you've never held a real gold or silver coin in your hand, ladies and gentlemen, you can't possibly know what real money is. Because once you have held a $20 gold piece in your hand, you will never, never buy into the deception again. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUY-COIN. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. A great weight will be lifted from off your shoulders, and you will be able to breathe a sigh of relief. Because throughout history, real money has never, ever lost its purchasing power or its value, no matter what paper does. All paper systems have always failed. No hard system of money based upon gold and or silver coin has ever failed in the history of the world. 1-800-289-2646, 1-800-BUY-COIN.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for purple mountain majesties.
Ladies and gentlemen, you now understand what our government is supposed to be, a constitutional republic, a form of representative government that protects the rights of individuals, limits the power of government, and grants freedom and opportunity to all of its citizens. The first step in destroying constitutional republic was taking away the state legislature's rights to appoint senators. This protected the sovereignty of the state. The election of representatives protected the sovereignty of the people and maintained a balance in the Congress. That has been broken, and many other things. But we don't have time to go into all of them tonight. However, we will in the coming weeks, months. I'm afraid we don't have years. So we are being propelled into a one-world totalitarian socialist government by Marxist socialists and communists who have infiltrated the positions within the government of the United States of America and are in the active role of subverting and destroying the constitutional protections of individual rights, and they are bringing this country to its knees. Unless, of course, we stop it. Which brings us to Veterans Day. Throughout the history of this world, ladies and gentlemen, there have been those who have made things happen, those who have been willing to sacrifice for the good of themselves, their families, and their societies. And then there has been the flotsam and jetsam up on the tides of history. You're going to have to determine which one of those you want to fit into. I can tell you, without a doubt, the flotsam and jetsam is the worst place to be. Those are people who will not take a stand, who will not take part, who are always too busy, who believe that someone else is going to take care of them, that it can't possibly happen to them, and of course it always does. Those are the bodies on the sides of the road in war. Those are the long lines of refugees. Those are the starving women and children in camps, in countries in which they don't belong. Those are the people who lose everything, including their self-respect. They are at the whim of the victor in any conflict, whether verbal, philosophical, physical, or with the force of arms. I would hope that you would not allow yourself to fall into the category of flotsam and jetsam. Unfortunately, that's exactly where 95% of all populations find themselves. But throughout the history of the world, those who have made change, those who have affected the world, those who have brought great philosophies and built great nations have ranged from one individual to as much as 1% of any given population and no more. It is a fact of history, ladies and gentlemen. You too can discover those figures. And through their ability to coerce or affect or lead others, they are usually able to bring another 3.5% of any population to the point where they are willing to bear arms in defense of that principle, philosophy, religion, or nation. And those are the people, those, ladies and gentlemen, are the people who create, who destroy, who build, who enslave, who free the rest. And then there's a 0.5% that is generally unaccounted for. This nation was created by less than 1% of the population who got together and drafted its principles and ideals and put them into effect. It was won by 3.5% of the population who took up arms and fought for those principles and ideals, and the rest of the population either didn't give a damn or were solidly on the side of King George or were opportunists who didn't care which side won or lost. And they were the flotsam and jetsam, and thank God the Founding Fathers won that battle. Or they would have suffered terribly under the vengeful heel of King George, I can assure you. And throughout the history of this nation, there have been those, that small percentage, that has always been about 3.5% or less, who have been willing to take up arms, ladies and gentlemen, in defense of the principles and ideals of liberty and freedom, whether in this country or abroad, and were willing to give their lives, believing sincerely that they were doing so in the defense and at the bidding of their country. And it is those people that we honor tonight. And indeed, they deserve to be honored. for it is the noblest of all deeds that one can do. It is the best. It is the ultimate love of any individual to lay down his life for another. Or to go into battle and survive, knowing all the while that he could have lost his or her life in that battle. All the while prepared to do so if it should be required. So it is not just the dead of our military forces and of those who have fought and taken great risks and sacrificed much, even their lives, for this country, but the survivors as well, for they were prepared for that sacrifice. They were willing to lay down their life, should it be required. And for the most part, in the history of this nation, they did it on foreign soil. For others, really. For at only a few times in the early history of this country were we ever in danger of being invaded and destroyed from without. In the modern era, there has existed no force upon the face of this earth that has had the ability to invade and occupy this nation. And they would have been great fools had they determined that they were going to try such a foolish stunt, for they would have had to fight the entire population for every single inch of the way. Now I'm going to throw you a curve, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm telling you right now, they have figured out a way to do it without endangering themselves because they understand human nature. They understand the American propensity to believe that it cannot happen here, that by going to the polls and voting, we can prevent any supposed takeover of our government from within. That we understand the wiles and ways of those who are cunning and shrewd, and that we could stop them without ever anyone becoming injured, hurt, or killed. You see, they understand that the American people are, for the most part, sheep. And for many years, they have been brainwashing the American people to accept what is coming. Most of the people who voted for Bill Clinton did so not because he's a good man, not because they believe he's a good president, but because they believe he's going to put some money in their pockets. That's socialism. They don't understand that by doing that, they give up their freedom and their right to choose or to control. Judges all over the country have recently been ruling that when you drop your children off at a public school, you lose your parental rights. And the state now has control of your children. In Pennsylvania recently, this was put to a test. When young girls were forced to undergo genital examinations without notification or permission of their parents. And when they cried and wailed and wanted to call their parents and did not wish to take the examination, they were denied use of the telephone and were indeed forced to undergo a full, penetrating genital examination. These girls were about 11 years old. It can happen in your state, in your town, in your schools, and much, much more. You see, in a socialist system, when you agree to accept the benefits of the state and the protection of the state, you assume the role of a child and the state assumes the role of the parent. As you all know, children have no rights other than the basic right to live. So in a socialist system, the daddy is the state. The citizens of a socialist system are the children of the daddy. And the daddy tells them what time they can get up, what to do all day, what to eat, how much money that they can have, where they can travel, where they cannot travel, if they can use a car or not use a car, and what time they must be in their home and what time they must go to bed, what they can own and what they cannot own, what they can say and what they cannot say, what they can write and what they cannot write, and even what they can think and what they cannot think. The state dictates who will live or die, who will get a kidney transplant and who will not. Or if anybody will, for that matter. This nation, ladies and gentlemen, is being destroyed from within. It has already been invaded. The insurrection has already taken place. The enemy is in control of the key positions of bureaucratic government and elected office. From the local, to the county, to the state, to the federal level, and everyone listening to this broadcast tonight knows it. And if you know it, why are you not preparing to become veterans? Every single one of you who believe in constitutional Republican government, where the rights of the individual are supreme over the powers of the state, why are you not preparing to become veterans? And I'm not talking just about taking up arms, and I'm not even really talking about taking up arms. I'm talking about entering the fight to reclaim the constitutional republic and to restore the Constitution for the United States of America to its rightful and lawful place as the supreme law of this land. And I know that each and every one of you would be the very first to scream and whine and wail about the loss of what you call your constitutional rights should you personally be infringed upon or be what you might believe to be infringed upon. Why are you not printing newspapers and newsletters? Why are you not attending your local city council meetings and your Board of Education meetings? Why are you not opposing the socialism that is taking over in this country and will surely destroy it and relegate you back in to a system of perpetual slavery, controlled by debt, accounted on a computer for the rest of your lives? Why are you not forming militias under the law? Why are you not opposing, even to the point of absolutely disobeying, any law that would regulate or restrict your ownership of the last resort of the people to protect themselves from tyranny that our founding fathers gave us, the right to keep and bear arms? A militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You see, I can quote that from memory, people. How many of you can do that? And why is it that you don't understand it? Any restriction, any registration, any outlaw of guns or weapons of any kind is unconstitutional. And if they really wanted to do it, and if the American people really wanted them to do it, it should be done as outlined in the Constitution itself by amendment to that document. But you see, they will not do that because they cannot do that. You would not allow them to do that, but you would allow them to pass a Brady bill, and then a bill to outlaw anyone convicted of domestic violence, even if it was a misdemeanor, not to own weapons. And then the outlaw of any weapon that could be called a sniper rifle, which is any rifle upon which a scope can be mounted. That bill is in Congress right now, introduced by Charles Schumer, the traitor. Yet most of you don't even know that. No people can have freedom unless they are ready and willing to die for that freedom at any moment that that freedom is threatened by anyone or any force or any government or any power whatsoever. Think about that this Veterans Day, ladies and gentlemen, because that's really what you should be thinking about. The New World Order, the one world totalitarian socialist government, is only 4 years from its target date of completion. It cannot exist if the American people have weapons and if our Constitution still exists. Good night, and God bless you all.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know my dream. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you, and it can't hurt you today. But there ain't no doubt I love this man. God bless the USA.
This is the Voice of Freedom, 101.1 FM, Eager, Arizona. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation. Stay tuned now for Michael Cottingham with Quest for Help. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, immediately following Quest for Help is the debut on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network of Anthony J. Hilder and his Radio Free World.